Hey guys, Rob here from the Big Red Express. Thanks for pressing the download button on today's podcast. Got a great one coming up. We talk about the spectator experience with former guest and very good friend of the podcast, Christian Becker out of CrossFit Krypton. It was great to talk to him. Obviously, CrossFit Krypton had three athletes actually qualify for the CrossFit Games this year: Ben Smith, Alex Smith, and of course our Masters athlete, David Jones. So we talk about that kind of experience of how it was to watch them. We talk about some of the things that the spectators were able to do while they were up in Madison, how that compares to how things were in Carson, and much, much more. But first, got to get down to some business. Got to kind of take care of the people and pay some bills first, because if it wasn't for these people, we couldn't do this podcast on a weekly basis. And we are so thankful for all the sponsors and all the people that make this podcast possible on a weekly basis. It's been a crazy week for me. It's actually about to get even crazier the next few weeks. I head to Colorado tomorrow, actually. I head up to D.C., flying out of D.C. on Friday. Then I got RU Fit the next weekend, Team Superfit Apex in Raleigh, and then, of course, Team Superfit D.C. the weekend after that. So a very busy schedule for me. So, but don't worry, episodes and, you know, we'll continue to fly and we'll continue to be dropped every Wednesday here on Podomatic on our website at bigredexpress.podomatic.net. You can get every episode there. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes if you want. Leave us a 5-star review. It helps us out with kind of the monthly paying of the bills and gives our sponsors a little bit more incentive to, you know, support this podcast every single month. Got to give a huge shout out, though, to Burrito Perdido, located on Cedar Road in that Sunoco gas station. They've got the best burritos. They've got the best chimichangas, tacos, you name it, Southwest food out in California, that kind of genre of food, if you may. They've got the best of it. Go over there, check them out. If you mentioned that you listen to the Big Red Express, and maybe they'll give you a free thing of chips. I don't know. If you stay there and eat, I guarantee you they'll give you some free chips as well. Of course, pretty much with every single option you get, you're going to get some chips on the side. No charge to you. So go head on over to Burrito Perdido. They're open from Tuesdays to Sundays from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. And, man, they are the best food that you will ever find, especially in the Chesapeake area. Got to give a huge shout out also to one of the biggest supporters of this podcast. We've had him on plenty of times before, but got to give a huge shout out to the Ben Smith Blueprint. Ben Smith and CrossFit Krypton have been such big supporters since literally the number one day of the podcast. I've known Ben for so long, over a decade now. It's crazy to think that I've known the Smith family for over a decade and just the impact that they've had. I've been doing the Smith programming, the Ben Smith Blueprint, even before the Ben Smith Blueprint was even a thing. Back when I started CrossFit almost 5-6 years ago, that's what I was doing, and he is continuing to share that with the world. They have affiliate options. They have different options that if you only have an hour during the day to train, he kind of gives you the best option for that hour. If you want to have a full day of training, he gives that option as well. But if you want more information, we posted it on our Facebook page at the Big Red Express. We'll post it in the blog this week for this episode. So make sure you guys go over there and check it out. And you can also go to CrossFitKrypton.com to find out any more information on how you can get satellite programming directly to your device every single week. No problems, no questions asked. Also, got to give a huge shout out to RX Pro Shop. They've been with us for so long, and I could not be where I am today with the emceeing and all this stuff if it wasn't for Jeff and Tracy Jeffries. They have absolutely been incredible to me. Go check them out, RX Pro Shop, on Instagram, on Facebook. They're everywhere, guys. They are at almost every little local competition and super fit competition that you can think of. It's incredible. I love it. And I love them. They've got the largest selection of stance socks in the Hampton Roads area. And, of course, probably on the East Coast. I've never been to all the places that offer stance socks on the East Coast. But, man, they've got so many stance socks and so many other things for your workout, pre-workout, and post-workout needs. Go check them out, RX Pro Shop, right in the middle, or right at the front of CrossFit Chesapeake in that Grassfield Shopping Center. Guys, that's going to do it for kind of paying the bills this month or this week. Here's my interview and conversation, not really an interview, just kind of a nice conversation with Christian Becker, a good friend of the podcast, recently got engaged. We talk about that a little bit, but his experience at the CrossFit Games and much, much more. Enjoy.
You guys know my name is Robbie. I got a podcast. It's called The Big Red Express. Coming up in just a moment. And 3, 2, 1, go!
Hey guys, welcome back to the Big Red Express. We are inside CrossFit Krypton chatting to one of the coaches and one of our good friends, Christian Becker. Christian, how are you?
I'm good, Robbie. How are you?
It's been a while since we've had you on. It's probably been about a couple years.
Yeah.
I remember when I first had you on, man. You were, I don't know, I think we were talking about Wodapalooza.
We were.
The first year that you went back in 2015, I believe.
Yeah.
Sort no, of in, yeah, 2016.
No, it was January 2015. Would have been Wodapalooza. So
it was the first year
so
you
I
went
to in 2014.
Yeah, you must have been one of the first guests that we had on the podcast.
Think, yeah, because you didn't know anyone famous yet.
That's right. I think the guest when that happened was Colton was the first guest.
Yeah.
And then it was Ben. And then I think you were like right behind
somewhere
them.
There, yeah,
maybe Adam and then you. This I don't know. It was everyone. It was literally all my friends at the gym that I didn't know any better. And I was like, hey,
no,
you want to be
cool
on the
enough.
Podcast? Huh?
Now we're not cool enough.
No, you're cool enough. I'm just not around enough, and that's on me.
Okay, that's fair.
100%. I'm
your famous friends now.
I get all over the place. So the main reason we want to have you on is, you know, we want to give people. We talked about the games enough, and I think people are tired of me talking about the games. I wasn't even there. I want to get your kind of thoughts and kind of how it was as a spectator this year. New venue, kind of new things, mm-hmm. kind of going on in Madison. Talk to us. Kind of when you first arrived, how it was when you first got to Madison?
We first got there. I think everyone's kind of described it very similar, but it's just different.
Yeah.
You know, or similarly. You know, if you've been lucky enough to get out of Carson for even just a year or the past few years, you know, it's, you know, not a cloud in the sky anywhere. It's always beautiful. It's,
right.
You know, it's a little hot sometimes, but, you know, not a drop of rain anywhere. And Madison's just different part of the country
for sure
know? Yeah, so a little colder. I think one day it was like 55 during the obstacle course when it was raining, so it was very different. But I think in a nutshell, you know, it's still the CrossFit Games,
right?
That was the fourth year that I've been lucky to go with my family again this past year. But you know, it's CrossFit Games. It's different weather, different venue.
Yeah,
but
you talk about the different weather, kind of like, you know, it was, I think that was one of the biggest questions of how things were going to kind of roll this year, was just like, how was the weather going to play? Was it going to be a factor? Mm-hmm. You saw it like poured on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever they had the run, swim, run event. Like,
it
was kind of cool. It didn't really seem like the athletes slowed down at all. It didn't really seem to affect the athletes that much at all.
For that event, I think we were still outside of the venue, so we caught it a little bit on the live stream.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, they were running, so you couldn't really follow along on the course that
right.
well. But, I mean, yeah, I think that was an event that maybe, you know, a very, very small fraction of people were affected, if anything.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, it's just running in the rain. I think if, you know, you're a good swimmer, it wasn't going to hurt or help you. If you're a bad swimmer, it's not like the rain was going to make you any worse.
Right.
The only thing, and I think, you know, you could see it very obviously on, you know, watching from home, is the day that it was raining during the obstacle course. I think that's the only event that maybe that, you know, it had an effect on.
For sure.
One, the entire field. So
yeah.
It's not like one lane was wet and one lane was dry. Everyone
right.
was affected equally, but it definitely had more of an effect on more people, I think.
Oh, for sure. I think, it, you know, when you looked at it from the stream, and I know it was hard to, when you were there, I know it was hard to get into the obstacle course kind of arena.
Correct.
Because there weren't Absolutely. That many seats. just from what I heard from social media and stuff like that, there were only a certain amount of seats. And everyone, when you've got thousands and thousands of people trying to get into an arena that maybe only holds, what, 500 people?
Yeah.
Like,
if, probably.
If that. Like, it didn't
that,
look that.
It
didn't
it
look.
Small.
It looked really small. But, yeah, it definitely looked like, especially with the obstacles that they had, kind of the swinging on the ropes, I don't think that was as big of a factor in terms of the grip and stuff like that the platforms that they had to land on. Mm-hmm. Because you saw a lot of people kind of slip
on
off the platforms or anything like that. And I think, you know, they could have done a little bit differently. But at the same time, I like the spectacle of the obstacle course that they came in and they built. From what I've heard, they spent $1 million on that very thing.
Really?
$1 million.
Holy moly.
So I don't know if that's true. That's coming from Ben Bergeron. So
okay.
He's a pretty good source.
Oh yeah,
I would like to think
probably knows his stuff.
But man, I mean, $1 million for something they're going to come in,
you know, use
for like, right, for an hour and a half, 2 hours max. And then they're going to tear down. Who knows when they're going to use it again or where they're going to use it again.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting. But I liked the event. I liked, you know, it was a cool just kind of spectacle, like, that they could build the entire obstacle course the way that they did, the way that they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You could switch a couple things up and, you know, hindsight's, you know, everything's perfect vision, you know, like,
right,
you can kind of change everything after the fact.
Yeah.
I think the concept was good. I think a lot of the athletes, and I'm sure you heard this too, were a little bit confused on the kind of what was going on. Like, they were told something, you know, different
standards and things like that.
Different things, like, just, you know, the communication wasn't all that good. But, you know, I think Dave Castro's kind of came out as well and said, you know, organizationally wise, backstage, behind the scenes, probably not as organized as like.
Correct.
So,
correct. And I think, you know, before we get onto that real quick, what you said about the obstacle course, you know, how they can, you know, put it up and tear it down. I think
right.
that says a lot about the CrossFit Games and the sport of CrossFit in general.
Right.
Is that, you know, it's gotten to a point where they can do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
they have all these resources. They have all, you know, from the outsider perspective, it looks like we have all this money.
Right.
You know, who
knows
what the real story
exactly,
is.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's gotten to a point where, you know, it is an international phenomenon where
right.
they can afford these giant venues and
you know,
put it up, use it, tear it down.
And I was trying to compare it, and I talked about it last week on the podcast, like trying to compare it to a single event of a professional sporting event throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you could it's hard to compare it to anything other than maybe like a professional wrestling show where like they take over the town for the entire week.
Correct.
And like they're only there for the week and they're there literally. Yeah, right. Like they take over the crowd. And I thought this year more in general than past years, they pretty much took over the town of Madison.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk to us about kind of the surrounding areas. Talk about like, you know, what you saw as a spectator. If you were just kind of to roam around the city of Madison, Wisconsin, what were some of the things that you would see?
Yeah, so, I mean, around the city, they did a really good job, one of all the restaurants, in terms of, you know, restaurants came out with paleo-friendly options.
Yeah.
They, you know, even named some, you know, like, made up some recipes for the weekend. And I think we went to a pizza place, the name escapes me, but it was, like, the CrossFit salad.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
You know, I forget what was in it, but I think a few people tried it. So it was kind of cool to see all the restaurants, you know, kind of cater to the community.
Right.
Me personally, I didn't go for any of the paleo options. I got all the cheese curds that
hey,
I could possibly get my hands on.
You got to.
Absolutely. But yeah, that among other things, you know, they had fathead stickers of athletes on a bunch of, you know, storefronts.
Right.
I'm sure there were other things.
Yeah.
But, you know, it escapes me. The restaurants is really what sticks out.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what the kind of thing, the biggest thing that I heard is, I think I saw more people, like, Instagramming and posting stuff about just the different options and stuff like that, and the different themed restaurants
that
had stuff that was directly correlated to the CrossFit Games, which is kind of cool that CrossFit's gotten to a point only after 11 years that it's literally taking over towns.
Correct.
And making it the biggest fitness phenomenon, you know, in the world.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Talk to us about kind of, you know, I know they had some things, you know, that the spectators could do where you could actually try out some of the workouts.
Yeah.
How was that? How cool was that? Because normally you're just kind of on the sideline sitting. You can sometimes do a workout every once in a while. You know, I know they have it in Vendor Village, they have different booths that have different spectators and things like
mm-hmm.
that. Talk to us about kind of the spectator challenges and what kind of workouts that you could do. Could you do all of them, or were there only a certain amount that you could do?
Yeah, so the whole experience in general was fantastic.
Yeah.
Comparatively to the last few years, I know if you walked around Vendor Village, you know, you can kind of do the challenges at booths and you can, you know, qualify to win a self-back,
whatever.
In Carson, though, they did have sort of the same sort of spectator experience where you could go and they just had like a little CrossFit gym set up.
For sure.
And there was a workout of the day.
Yeah.
It was always like almost, you know, far enough to be almost off site. You know,
yeah.
So, like, no one really knew about it. It was kind of stuck in a corner. This year it was, you know, just all in. They took half of the age group pavilion and made it into this giant, basically, arena for spectators to go work out. I think they legit just took, you know, a rig from one of the regional events and set it up with all the lanes.
Yeah.
They had lifting platforms you could rent. for 30 minutes at a time. You know, not rent, just sign up for an hour.
Right, yeah.
The other thing, it was free.
Oh,
so
cool.
It was very, very cool. You could just, you know, as long as you sign up online ahead of time, you could go in, you could sign up for your time slot, do your workout. In addition to that, you could also sign up to participate in the bike event and the run, swim, run. So you actually got to do a few of the CrossFit Games workouts. Unfortunately, due to weather, the bike was canceled.
Oh, man.
But, you know, they refunded you, so that was it was only $10 to do it.
Yeah.
So it was cool. And the run, swim, run, it was literally the exact same course they did at the games. So it was, you know, run out to the lake.
Right.
Swim in the lake. Hope not to get bacteria in you know, any parts of your body. And then come back from the lake.
Right. How was the course for the run, swim, run? Because on the stream, you could, you know, you could only see it so well. And
I'm
sure if you're at the event, it was very tough to see the entire thing.
Right.
But actually running the course and actually doing the event, just like the CrossFit game that athlete did, you know, the same course. How was that just personally for you?
I mean, it was really cool. The course itself, you know, kind of like you said, from a spectator perspective, it was hard to see where it actually went.
Right.
Because it kind of like disappeared behind the venue and then popped back up at the water.
Yeah.
So it went really far out kind of behind the where the bike course was in the fields, kind of where the RVs were, you know, again, being there, you kind of know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then you kind of went through, you popped out on a little running trail that I think was just part of, you know, the running trails for Madison.
For sure.
Which made me kind of jealous. Like, I wish we had more of those here.
Yeah.
And then you pop out at the lake and then, you know, come back on the same course, come back into the venue through the back entrance. But, you know, doing it, it came even before the game started, you know, deciding to sign up for it because I didn't know if I was going to have to miss any events. I didn't
miss
the spectator.
Oh, definitely.
They call it the spectator experience, but I wanted to also spectate.
Right.
But the more I thought about it, it was, you know, the whole reason I got into CrossFit is because, or that I really started enjoying it anyways, is just the cool stuff that you got to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like I had kind of gotten away from that, and, you know, I kind of, you know, it almost turned a little stressful at some points.
Right.
So, you know, thinking 5 years in the future, if I can look back and be like, oh, you know, I did that event. You know,
right.
Watching it, you know, on YouTube with some people.
For sure.
And they're like, oh, well, yeah, I did that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't actually compete, but
right.
still got to do it.
Yeah.
So I think that was worth it for looking back a few years down the road.
How would you say kind of the things that changed from, you know, Carson last, you know, really the last 7 or 8 years that they had it in Carson to Madison? I mean, talk to us about just kind of the experience of not just the spectators, but just really the overall, just the venues and things like that. How was that compared to previous years?
Again, like I said in the beginning, it's the CrossFit Games.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're there. The CrossFit community is amazing. It's obviously grown exponentially.
Right.
Even continually in the past year compared to the last 10 years.
Right.
It was very tough, I think, to take that community where now you might have more people who are interested in coming.
Yeah.
Because it was more in the middle of the country than all, you know, isolated to one coast.
Oh, for sure.
And then put that larger community in a smaller venue.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of... I didn't avoid it, but, you know, getting to the question that you mentioned earlier that I didn't get to, kind of the same thing, you know, things were kind of, you know, rough around the edges and behind the scenes might not have been
right.
smooth. It's the first year in a new place.
For sure.
And you have to remember, you know, whatever percentage, 95% of the people who are there working are volunteers. So they show up the same week of the CrossFit Games for most of them.
Yeah.
They have a few hours, a few days maybe to kind of figure out the lay of the land, and then they're expected to put on this world-class event.
That always makes me – that always impresses me so much that people will take off work for an entire week.
Exactly.
To go and literally be someone's workhorses.
Work their ass off.
Like, they're probably working harder at the CrossFit Games when they volunteer than they would if they were just at their normal job.
Mm-hmm.
But – every year they get more and more people to sign up. And I think that's like one of the coolest things. Not only that they get thousands and thousands and thousands of people to show up every year for this event. That's a week long type of deal to watch people work out, you know, like it's one thing to watch someone compete in an event or compete in a sport, but to just go watch people work out. It's amazing, but to get hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that are not getting paid, that really only get paid in a couple shirts and a pair of sneakers probably, to go, I think they don't – I don't think the volunteers get enough credit, in my opinion, just because – and I've obviously never been there as a volunteer, but I've been to plenty of events that
– exactly.
And have seen – the volunteers that, you know, Wadapalooza is another prime example. Mm-hmm. They take off a weekend and go down to Miami in the winter.
Correct.
You know, and maybe it's, you know, like, oh, and for California, I can see, oh, they want to go to California in the middle of summer. Who wouldn't want to take a week off? But, like, you're not really being able to enjoy your time there. You're working pretty much around the clock.
Right. You know, I think it's always funny, you know, I mean, comparatively, I've been to Wadapalooza myself and seeing the volunteers, like, on Thursday when you get there and everyone's excited, and then seeing them on Sunday, it's like, you know,
exhausted.
First and second term Barack Obama.
Right.
Just going downhill, just getting older.
Oh, my word.
But yeah. No. So.
All right.
I do agree with you, though, that, you know, I really don't think they get enough credit. So,
right.
Kind of like yourself, I haven't personally volunteered at any of the events, but, you know, knowing people, my fiance has volunteered at Wadapalooza, she's volunteered at the games. She was on the signage team in 2015, and, you know, I mean, she was beat.
Right, was, yeah.
Slept for like 3 days after the game.
For sure.
But, you know, I really think they do a great job for the circumstance that they're put in, you know.
Yeah.
Not having any incentive other than just getting some free gear.
For sure.
And, you know, the experience of, you know, being at the games.
I was there.
Yeah, you know, just like being at the spectator experience. But yeah, I'm proud of them.
Now, going back before the games, you competed actually in France.
I did.
You went to France. I believe your first time in France, correct?
So my dad was retired Navy. So we were over in Belgium when I was just a little kid. You know, we've been around. I think I was between the ages of like 4 and 7.
Right.
So. Really thought I was going to remember more than I did when I got over there, and I was like, I don't remember any of this.
Right.
So it was very, very cool.
How was that experience, you know, just kind of going over there? Did you understand anything that anyone was saying, or did you kind of have to learn a little bit of beginner French before you went over?
I mean, I definitely didn't learn any beginner French. It was the experience, you know, it's way too much to talk about. It's incredible, you know. I mean, being in Europe, I plenty of people have, you know, gone around Europe after college.
For sure.
People have lived there. Being there for just a little over a week, we got to go to France, which was a lot harder in terms of communication.
Yeah.
We hooked up with my friend Ellie at Reebok CrossFit Louvre, who actually they put on the event.
It
was called the French Throwdown. So he was great. He helped us out as much as he could, but just going around town, I think there's also a little bit of, you know, a lot of people just, you know, don't like helping travelers.
Americans.
In France. Yeah. I wasn't going to say it, but yeah. So. that made it difficult, but I mean, all in all, you know, it was a great experience. Like, we were, you know, never treated poorly or anything. It was
good
communication.
Good, yeah.
We got to also go to Brussels, Belgium, which is where we actually lived when my dad was in
NATO. Oh, cool.
So that was cool, and Belgium was actually a lot more English speakers than I thought there was going to be.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was a little bit cooler, and then I got engaged. So
awesome.
I kinda, you know,
well, congratulations on that. I know.
Thanks, man.
how cool was it, you know, to be able to do it? I mean, I guess you. I don't know if you've told. I mean, did you plan that? Like, how long ago did you plan that you were going to engage or
I knew that
propose
I was gonna do it
over there?
It was just a matter of I had no plan of actually how to do it.
Right.
So we kind of, you know, stopped by her parents' house on the way. We left out of Baltimore, so I was able to, you know, quickly kind of talk to her parents about it and let them know. Got their approval, so that was cool.
Right.
I already had the ring. So
but, by the way,
Ironically, the night I was going to do it, you know, I'll just tell a story.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was this really, really cool cathedral, and we kind of toured it during the day, and I was like, this would be a pretty cool place to do it, you know, if we came back downtown
right
in the evening. And that evening, it was one of the, you know, very, you know, kind of unstable situations where, you know, there wasn't sure if they were having some sort of terrorist attack
right
on the subway.
Yeah.
So we ended up just, we were already downtown, the subway was shut down, we were like, all right, well, we were trying to go to this famous bar, Vortex.
Okay.
I was like, I always forget his name. So we ended up there, and we met some other people who were kind of studying abroad. So we met some Americans, you know, had a few beers. And then the moment when I was ready to propose, my fiance and Akila started getting very emotional, which was not the ring, because I hadn't even got it out yet.
Right.
It was just the alcohol.
Right.
So things went south. I got an Uber. We got back to the Airbnb.
Right.
It was fine, though. And then we woke up the next day, and I kind of did it in private in the Airbnb. So
awesome.
It turned out to work out very well.
Yeah.
But, you know, not exactly how I thought it was going to go.
Right. Hey, sometimes those are the best stories, you know, like great. You can tell forever.
Yeah, hopefully she doesn't listen to this. It's fine. Sometimes alcohol just, it gets to you.
Right.
You have to cry it out.
Right. Last question before we let you go. Thanks okay. again. We're Christian Becker, been to the games as a spectator a bunch of times. Hopefully we will see him there in the future. But comparatively to past years that you've been, how did this year compare either in a good way, bad way, indifferent, about the same as it did in years past?
So I got to be biased.
Yeah.
And I've also, you know, thought a lot about it. I like to think about my experience.
Oh,
sometimes.
Of course. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's really hard to top 2015.
Yeah. I mean, oh, for sure.
I'm biased.
Did the entire, know, oh, 100%.
We go to Ben's gym.
Right,
Ben
yeah.
won. It was incredible.
Right.
On top of that, you know, some of the stuff we got to do out there and meet some of the athletes was,
yeah.
I think it was just like a very, very high point.
For sure.
This year, it was very, very close. Again, different venue, different games.
Yeah.
But we had Ben's brother, Alec.
Right.
We had a master, Dave Jones.
Yeah.
So going out and seeing three individuals compete from the same gym was very,
right.
very cool.
Cool.
You know, I know it didn't work out for, you know, some of them as well as they wanted to.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
They got to the freaking CrossFit games.
Exactly, right.
So, you know, I'm excited to hopefully see them again go out next year. I hope I can go again if I have the time.
Right.
Maybe add a few people.
Definitely.
Maybe, who knows?
Sweet.
As many people as we can get.
Hey, all the people in the world need to be going to the CrossFit games. Hopefully, absolutely. I'll be there. Hopefully I'll be working.
Dude, let's go.
That's the plan. I'm hoping I'll be on the mic for the CrossFit Games next year.
You can take Kiki's spot.
Hey.
I'm sorry, Kiki.
Hey.
If you're listening to this.
Sounds good to me. I'll take it all day. All right, man. Well, Christian, thanks so much. I appreciate
thanks,
it. Kind of giving us a spectator view of the CrossFit Games, plus a little bit more stories about
yeah.
your trip to France
now
and
you know
all so much more. Christian, thanks so much. We'll get you on later on.
Thanks, man.